And another big merger was announced today. This one, two coffee giants, the American company Mondelez International and the Netherlands-based DE Master Blenders. They're getting together in a multi-billion dollar deal to try and take on Nestle. The new company will be based in the Netherlands. And it comes as corporate mergers and takeovers have reached their highest levels since 2007, driven in part by companies' desire to leave the U.S. for lower taxes abroad. So our question, is the U.S. corporate tax system broken? And are U.S. corporate taxes actually driving jobs overseas? Kenneth Rogoff, professor of economics at Harvard University, joins us in the studio to talk about this. Ken, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with that basic question. Do you think that jobs are going overseas because companies want to lower their corporate taxes?
Our corporate tax system is not helpful. Our whole tax system is broken. It's hard to look at it in isolation. I mean, some of these big mergers were losing the headquarters. I grew up in Rochester, New York. We had Xerox, Bausch & Lomb, Kodak. We lost the jobs. We kept the headquarters. I'd rather keep the jobs than lose the headquarters.
But so why are so many companies doing what we have just seen in the pharmaceutical industry, for example, which is companies deciding to move certain jobs, move certain parts of the business overseas in order to lower their tax rate?
Well, we in the United States tax a corporation on its worldwide income if it's based in the United States. So if they can find a way to get it out of the United States, they want to a lower tax place. Now, that's not straightforward. You can't just move without having some reason. But through these mergers, they can say, well, we can't be in both places. We have to be headquartered in one or another. Why don't we make it the Netherlands? And that's called tax inversion, where the big guy buying the little guy but ends up housing in the little guy's headquarters, really for tax reasons.
But we always hear when we hear about U.S. corporate taxes and people say, oh, they're the highest on earth. But in fact, a lot of companies don't pay anywhere near the 35%, sometimes up to 39% if you add in state and local taxes, the rate, because there are loopholes galore.
There are loopholes galore. So at one time, we actually collected a lot of revenue from our corporate taxes back in the 60s, but it has dwindled. I mean, it's averages probably around 2% now of our national income, half of what it was in the 60s. And it's half of that now after the financial crisis. Some of this are loopholes that have been put over the years for other reasons, but some of it also has been pressure where corporations can hide profits overseas.
So would it be possible to lower the overall rate and get rid of all the loopholes?
Well, that's the idea, that you'd like to do that, but it's just complicated to treat the corporate tax system in isolation. For one thing, we want a more progressive tax system. If you make the corporate tax really low, then there are a lot of ways they can kind of consume within the corporation, and you have to have a tax system that's integrated. Countries that have high individual taxes tend to have high corporate taxes. One puts pressure on the other.
But what about those loopholes?
We'd like a system. We have a system riddled with loopholes all over the place, tax expenditures. Our system is so complicated. It's so Byzantine. It would be desirable to move to a simpler system. And there was a brief ray of light. The Bowles-Simpson Commission produced something really getting rid of a lot of, call them tax expenditures, call them loopholes, that would have simplified things a lot, gone in that direction. But it didn't get the critical support at the right time. It didn't happen. I've been very disappointed that we haven't seen something along those lines. But now the pressure from abroad, where other countries are looking at us and seeing us being static, and they're acting to sort of catalyze this. The UK, the United Kingdom, they've been cutting their taxes to draw in companies, partly defensively, because they were high relative to, say, its neighbor Ireland. They were losing companies, and now they cut, and now U.S. companies are going over to the UK and other
companies
places in
Europe. Probably don't have loopholes in this country. Is that what you're saying?
No, well, not enough. I mean, so it certainly makes a difference. It's easier if you go to a place where you're not having to twist your behavior to do all sorts of crazy things to avoid taxes.
So don't we then end up in a race to the bottom around the world, where every country around the world is trying to get to the lowest tax rate? In the end, if that does happen, these governments are not pulling in nearly as much money as they used to. They can't afford to pay for basic services.
Yeah, that's a happening in our globalized world, and you can fight it a little, particularly in things like these pharmaceutical mergers where there aren't that many countries that can house them because they have a lot of intellectual property rights. You can't move that to China because you won't have your property rights anymore under their current system. So there are just a few countries that are really reliable, and you ought to be able to get together and make a deal between them. President Obama has tried, but that is frayed after the financial crisis, where countries are just a little more desperate for revenue, a little more desperate for jobs, and we're seeing these pressures that are hitting us.
Do the countries that do that, if you give company X a tax break and say, come, you know, move here to Y country and we'll give you a tax break, do they end up benefiting in the end? Do the jobs and all the economic activity make up for the fact that they're not pulling in as much tax as the company was paying before?
Well, a lot of times they're pulling in a company they didn't have. So Ireland set up shop with a 12% corporate tax rate, and they pulled business from all over Europe. You know, in some of these mergers, it is way complicated to evaluate who's going to lose and who's going to gain. In the pharmaceutical one between Pfizer and AstraZeneca, the British, who are the ones who are going to end up housing the merged company if it goes through, they're worried about losing jobs because they still think the power will be an American company. They will look to cut these very high-value research jobs that are build the knowledge base in their economy. So it's certainly not a simple answer to that question.
What do you make of the argument from the financier Steve Rattner, who's saying in the New York Times, scrap the corporate tax system altogether and just tax people on their investments, tax them on capital gains, raise taxes elsewhere so that the companies themselves are not having to pay taxes and aren't making business decisions based on that. Just tax the people at the companies.
In a perfect world, that is the ideal. So you'd actually tax consumption, have some sort of flat tax on consumption. And the only trick there is that a lot of consumption goes on within the corporation and you have to figure out how to do that. We don't live in a perfect world, so the corporate tax is a way of preventing, say, individuals from holding their money in the corporation and maybe pulling it out some year where very conservative government gets elected and the rate's low and they pull out all their money. So I think the corporate tax has been a compromise we've had to have, but the global economy sure hits at us.
Ken Rogoff, why did nothing happen on this issue? Why didn't corporate tax reform or tax reform in general happen this year? There was a lot of talk earlier on that it might be something both sides would get together on.
I mean, the paralysis in Washington since the financial crisis has been covered everything. There have been so few issues where they've been able to agree. And I say there was this moment of light where the two sides, the gang of eight, you know, from both sides, agreed on what they'd do. They had a good policy. It seemed like it might happen. Then it didn't. And now I don't know when.
I feel like that could end almost every segment that we do on this program. It's just nothing happening in Washington. Kenneth Rogoff from Harvard, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.